This passage speaks about one of the most familiar memorials in the life of the Christian and the Christian church. Be reading verses 17 through 34 of 1 Corinthians 11. Again, the theme is remembering. Paul writes, "But in giving this instruction, I do not praise you because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, in order that those who are approved may have become evident among you. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry, and another is drunk. What, do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I will not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, in order that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you may not come together for judgment. And the remaining matters I shall arrange when I come." It seemed that everybody and their brother and sister and nephew and uncle had memorials of 9/11 this past week. Every time you turned around, there was some ceremony of remembrance, from early morning to late in the evening. Why? Are we so morbid that we want to dwell on the details of such a great tragedy? No, that's not it. At least it shouldn't be, and isn't for most people. But we need to remember what happened so that we will continue to support the efforts to bring justice to the wicked. If we forget 9/11, why to go to all this trouble with the war on terrorism? We need to remember in order to support those efforts. We also need to remember 9/11 so that we will go to all the trouble to protect ourselves against similar attacks. The work of intelligence, airport security, and all the other things that are being done and need to be done and need constant reformation in the manner and choices in which they are done, that depends upon remembering what happened so that we will be motivated and instructed in what we need to do now. We also remember because there are still many who suffer and will suffer for their whole lives because of what happened on 9/11. And we can't forget their suffering. We need to remember so that we will continue to relieve them who have been oppressed. Well, this theme of memorial is throughout the entire scriptures. We are constantly urged to remember what God has done, to remember what God has said, because remembering is critical to the privileges and duties that we have as Christians. What is remembering in scriptural terms? The word in the Hebrew scriptures is zakar, and it comes into Zechariah, and it means that Jehovah remembers. And it goes both ways on the equation. Jehovah remembers, and Jehovah is remembered. He's both the subject and the object of remembering. You remember that John the Baptist's father's name was Zechariah, because it is his name is a reminder to remember Jehovah, and an assurance that Jehovah remembers us. And you remember baptism last week, and baptism reminds God of us, is a memorial to God so that he would remember us and our children, which is our encouragement to pray. Also, of course, the prophet Zechariah. And the fact that these people were named with remember indicates the importance of it to God and to believers. And who can ever, and who will ever forget Zachary Dehar? You're just not going to forget him. And he is suitably named because we won't forget him. How many people among our friends and acquaintances throughout the years are able to say, "Oh, I remember him"? That may be good, and it may be bad. But people remember us. Memory is in some ways inevitable, and in some ways a duty and a privilege. The idea that's involved in it is indicated in a phrase in the Hebrew language that is very instructive. And the idea is that in remembering, you bring up from somewhere else into your mind and upon your heart. It is a retrieval, it is a recollection, it is a recalling, it is gathering together thoughts and feelings and bringing them into active consideration. We see this with our computers. We bring things out of memory so that we can work on them and use them now. They are out of reach. They come into present access for a purpose. And if our computers do not remember, they're useless. And sometimes they don't remember. In the Greek, this idea comes into our language from the Greek. Anybody see My Big Fat Greek Wedding, the movie? You got to see it. You got to see it. And listen for this. The father, the Greek father, says, "Give me a word, any word, and I'll show you that it comes from the Greek." Whereas he says, "And I'll show you that it comes from the Greek." So go see that movie, because it helps to apply this sermon. The first word that comes into our language is mnemonic, a mnemonic device. It is something that helps you remember. And one of the things that I encourage the kids in the Children's Story Hour is the mnemonic device of "My aunt still loves chocolate" for the last five of the Ten Commandments: murder, adultery, stealing, lying, covetousness. It helps you remember. Of course, sometimes it's harder to remember the mnemonic device than it is the thing that is supposed to help you remember. But sometimes it works. Amnesia. What is amnesia? It's when you can't remember. What is amnesty? It's when you willfully choose not to remember and to call into account a wrong suffered. Memory is the thing itself. Memorial is that which triggers the memory. Remembering is the act. And remembrance is sometimes the event in which you go about this work. So Jesus says that the woman who anointed him with perfume, this is recorded and will be told about her as a memorial to her. She will be remembered through the whole world for what she has done. And the recounting of it is the memorial that remembers. In Acts chapter 10, verse 4, Cornelius' alms are described by Peter as a memorial that ascends to God. His alms are an occasion upon which God remembers Cornelius and brings him to mind for Cornelius' good. And so the idea of memory and remembering is the active bringing to mind and upon the heart for the purpose of action. It is not merely, in biblical terms, a mental recollection. It is a mental, emotional, and spiritual recounting for the purpose of present action. Consider Peter's labors in his second epistle. In chapter 1, verse 9, he is arguing against those who have forgotten their purification from former sins. And so he says in verse 12, I shall always be ready to remind you so that you don't forget your purification. Verse 13, he says, I consider it right as long as I'm in this earthly dwelling to stir you up by way of reminder, to stir up the things in memory in order that they rise to the top of conscious consideration for the purpose of action. We see in chapter 3 where he comes back to this idea. Chapter 3, verse 1, I am stirring up your sincere mind, bringing to mind by way of reminder that you should remember the word spoken, namely that Christ is coming and that there will be a new creation, that we will be reminded that Christ is coming so that we don't forget our former purifications, which if we do, those sins will be judged and we destroyed on account of them, and that we will remember what Christ has done for us so that we will walk in these ways. And so having reminded them, he says in verse 14, therefore, being reminded, look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace. And so he reminds them so that they would remember to be found by him in peace, that they would remember the forgiveness of sins and the gift of righteousness, and in that way be prepared for his coming. So how is this idea used throughout the Scriptures? The first thing, again, is subjects and objects. The first thing is that God remembers his people. In Genesis chapter 8, God remembered Noah when Noah was in the ark on the floodwaters. God's remembering wasn't, oh yeah, Noah's there on the flood. It wasn't a mental exercise. His remembering Noah on the flood led him to take the waters away, bring Noah to dry land, and bring Noah onto the earth to repopulate the earth in a symbol of the new creation that was coming in Christ. Noah is the one who gives us rest in picture, but Christ in fact. But God remembered Noah in order to act for his good. In Genesis 19, God remembered Abraham in order to save Lot from Sodom. And again, this reminds us of baptism last week, that God remembers us in order to bless our children. And that is why we baptize them. In Exodus 2, God remembered Abraham, he remembered Isaac, he remembered Jacob, and brought Israel out of Egypt. It is his remembering that brings him to act on the basis of that memory. And that's why remembering is so important. We remember 9/11 so that we will punish the wicked, protect the innocent, and relieve the afflicted. There's a purpose to remembering. And secondly, in reverse, as God remembers us, we also remember him. We remember his promises. We remember his words. We remember and do not forget. And so this is an exercise of the covenant. God says, I am your God, and you are my people. And on that basis of the covenant relationship, therefore, God remembers us because he is our God. And we are to remember him because we are his people. Remembering is a covenantal act. It is the enjoyment of our relationship with God. And so as in this, as in all things, we remember him because he first remembered us. He remembers us by reminding us of him so that we remember him, his words, and his works. We'll sing this in a little while in Psalm 105. And just taking a portion, and we saw it early as we read. In Psalm 105, verse 8, he has remembered his covenant forever. And therefore, earlier in verse 5, remember his wonders which he has done. He remembers his covenant to do his wonders. And we are to remember his wonders that we may keep his covenant. The purposes then are manifold to remembering. God remembers his covenant in order to keep his promises. He sees the rainbow, and the rainbow is a memorial that reminds him of his covenant promise never to flood the earth again. So he remembers his promise in order to keep it. Secondly, we remember his covenant in order to keep his commandments. If we forget what he has said, we will not do it. And a big part of the reason why we consider the scriptures day after day and week after week, year after year, the same thing over and over again in essence, is that if we don't remember, we will forget. If we don't remind ourselves, we will forget. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, give heed to yourselves, keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart. God acts in space and time once. God does not act repeatedly. He acts, bears testimony, and we are to remember. He doesn't bring people out of Egypt in every generation. He brings the people out of Egypt and then calls them to teach their children so they will remember that God brought them out of Egypt. God doesn't send Jesus to die on the cross in every generation so that they see it with their own eyes and hear it with their own ears. He does it once in space and time and calls us to remember and not forget what he has done. In verses 13 and 14 that follow, he declared to you his covenant, the Ten Commandments, which he commanded me to teach you that you might perform them. We remember his commandments so that we would do them. If we don't remember them, we won't keep them. If we aren't reminded, we won't do them. Verse 23 says, so watch yourselves lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourselves a graven image. If you forget the commandments, you will not keep them. Item 3, the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread is for the purpose of keeping his commandments. Remember that God brought you out of the land of Egypt. That's what Passover is all about. And what does that lead into? It's the preface. The Passover is the symbol of the preface of the Ten Commandments. Remember that I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. That's the preface to the Ten Commandments. Therefore, you shall have no other gods before me. If we forget that God delivered us, we will also forget his commandments. We need to remember our redemption so that we will remember his commandments and keep them. What does God say about the Sabbath in the fourth commandment? Remember the Sabbath day. It doesn't mean merely bring it to mind. Ah, today is the Lord's day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's bringing to mind for the purpose of present action. Item 5 is a difficult one. It is remembering sin. And why is sin remembered? Sin is brought to mind and remembered in order to punish it. Consider Psalm 109, verses 14 and 15. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord. And do not let the sin of his mother be blotted out. Do not let it be forgotten. Let them be before the Lord continually in order that he may cut off their memory, ironically, from the earth. God remembers sin and brings them to mind in order to work his justice. It is remembering for a purpose. And that is why our redemption is described in terms of not remembering. Hebrews 10, verse 17. Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. It isn't that God is unaware of what happened, that he imposes some kind of willful amnesia upon himself, and he is clueless about history. God knows what happened. But he does not engage in an active bringing to mind for the purpose of destruction. He grants amnesty, that these things will not be brought to judgment. And that is the expression of our redemption. It comes to expression also in our own imitation of God. in 1 Corinthians 13:5. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not remember being sinned against for the purpose of vengeance. It doesn't mean that you don't recall what happened. It means that you don't take action against the person on the basis of an act of remembering. We are to remember our sins ourselves, likewise, for a purpose. David says in Psalm 51, verse 3, I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. But what was the purpose of his remembering his sins in Psalm 51? It was in order to repent of them. He remembered his sins and he brought them to mind in order that he would never go that way again. God encouraged the people of Israel, remember your time in Egypt so that you will not go back to those idols and those immoralities. What is the purpose of the law? One of the first purposes of the law is to remind us of our sin. And that is why we meditate on the law, particularly in the circumstances of the Lord's Supper. It's important that we be reminded of our sins so that we remember what we are repenting of, so that we remember what we are forgiven of, so that we remember what to turn away from. The law reminds us of our sin so that we would repent. It's interesting to compare Hebrews 10:17, I will remember their sins no more, with verse 3 early in the chapter. In those animal sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year. The fact that the animals were sacrificed day after day and year after year preached the gospel of forgiveness to the people in the shedding of blood, but also reminded the people that the accomplishment of their forgiveness had not yet come to pass. The sacrifices, even the Day of Atonement, once a year, was a reminder of sins year by year, in order that they would look forward to that accomplishment and repent and walk in faithfulness in preparation for it. Hebrews 13, the writer in verse 3, encourages us to remember the prisoners as if in prison with them, to remember them and to identify with their suffering so that we would relieve it. Galatians 2, the apostles in Jerusalem were anxious that Paul would remember the poor, not just be aware that there are some people who don't have everything they need, but to meet those needs, to bring to mind for present action and relieve the needs. And so all these things illustrate that remembering is an active bringing to mind and heart for the purpose of action. In Hebrews chapter 10 at the end, in verse 32, remember the former days. Remember when you were first converted and walked in faith. For what purpose? In verse 35, so that you don't throw away your confidence, but so that you endure. Remember how you began, so that in the present, you will continue. Don't throw it away now. Don't turn back now. It's like the guy swimming across the English Channel. He got halfway across and was too tired and turned back. Halfway across. Don't throw it away now. Most of us, well, many of us at least, by all likelihood, are closer to the grave than we are to the womb. Don't give up now. Remember your former days and all of God's mercies to you so that you will persevere to the end. God has graciously provided many means to bring things to mind, and I'll run through these quickly. God has given the Passover to remind Israel of their redemption. He's given the Feast of Booths to remind them of their time in the wilderness, how God delivered them and will do so now, how God sustained them and continues to do so. And of course, for us, the Lord has given us the Lord's Supper, that we would remember our cleansing and equipping in Christ and never forget it. When Israel crossed the Jordan into the Promised Land, they piled up a heap of stones
And it was a memorial that they would remember that God brought them into the land. They didn't bring themselves in. They weren't born here as a nation, but they were born out of slavery and into the promised land by the mighty hand of God, and that pile of stones did not let them ever forget it. Absalom had no children as a memorial to his name, and so he made a pile of stones. I'm not exactly sure the equivalence of that. But the intent was that as children, don't let people forget you, for better or for worse. This pile of stones would be a memorial that Absalom had lived. And so also in our traditions, we have tombstones, which function as memorials. And they remind people that we lived from here to here. It is a remembrance and a memorial and a reminder, and hopefully for good result. Gifts, again, Cornelius, his alms were a reminder to God and for God's blessing of him in that. The whole of the scriptures are a memorial of the works and words of God. This is articulated in Exodus 17:14. The Lord said to Moses, write in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua. The whole of the scriptures is intended to remind us of what God has done so that we would trust him, and what God has said so that we will obey him. Trumpets are used as a reminder in Leviticus 23, and songs are used as a reminder. There's something about music that helps us remember words. And God has given the Psalms so that we remember the words that summarize the Scriptures. And so the Psalms are a memorial to the goodness, power, and redemption of God. When Korah rebelled with his incense censers and presumed upon the priesthood, he was destroyed. And all that gold from the censers was hammered around the altar of incense as a memorial to what God had done to those who presumed against him. Crowns are memorials. Sacrifices are a reminder of sin year by year. God uses his name Jehovah as a memorial name and associates that name particularly with the Exodus, that in that name we would remember that God is our Redeemer. The Holy Spirit is also a memorial. He reminds us of what God has said. There are also stated times such as feasts and anniversaries such as the Passover. We have Memorial Day. We remember particularly veterans. We have Labor Day, and we remember particularly the working man. We have birthdays, which remind us that time is passing ever so quickly. And we had some this past week, and we'll have some in the week to come, and I won't mention any names, nor will I mention the number of years. Also, places. We're ground zero. Just that place reminds us. And also the stones of the Jordan was a place that reminded us. Turning then to the many lessons we can glean from these things on the back of your outline. Sometimes it seems that it is a bit overdone with the 9/11 memorials, for example. But I'd suggest to you that you should remember significant events like 9/11/01, like 12/7/41, because these things remind us to remember things that are even more important. 9/11, somewhere around 3,000 people perished. 12/7/41, somewhere around the same number of people perished. And those are overwhelming events. But consider this. Christ died for how many people? Billions? Carl Sagan, billions and billions and billions of people. Not a small number. If Christ died for billions and billions of people, and 3,000 people died on 9/11, And we have such a remembrance of 9/11 and those deaths. What kind of remembrance should we have of the one who died and whose death was of value for billions of people? If we remember 9/11, all the more we should remember the cross. And every time there is a memorial of a significant historical event, let that remind you of the privilege and duty to remember the death of Christ, and especially to attend to the Lord's Supper, which is that particular memorial. If we remember 9/11, all the more we must remember the cross. Items B and C go together. Remember God's promises so that you will believe them. If you don't remind yourself of God's promises, if you are not in the Word day by day and week by week, you will forget. You will come to the place, because you have not remembered what He said, that you find yourself, I don't believe it anymore, because you have forgotten. Remember God's promises so that you will believe them. And like Peter, as long as I am in this earthly body, I will stir you up by way of reminder relentlessly, week by week, and as I have opportunity, day by day, so that you will remember God's promises, that you will remember His faithfulness and trust Him. Faith comes by hearing the Word. Faith is sustained by hearing the Word. And if you aren't reminded by the Word, your faith will wane and dry up. With this, remember God's commandments so that you will keep them. Remember what God has said so that you will do it. Item D, remember your promises so that you will keep them. Every time you go to a wedding, let those vows remind you of your own so that you will keep them. Every time that you see a baptism, let those vows remind you so that you keep your vows with respect to your children. Every time someone becomes a formal member of the congregation, remember your vows so that you will keep them. Let these things be a reminder to you so that you will keep your own word. Pull out your employment contract every once in a while and remind yourself of your duties so that you will fulfill them. Pull out your debt contracts every once in a while. Not that you need to be reminded, because they send these helpful reminders called bills every month. Why? You know that you owe these people so much per month for your mortgage. But the bank wants to remind you so that you'll do something about it, to bring to mind so that you will pay them. Bills are a reminder. You know these things, but it's a reminder so that you will act on them. Item E, remember those who have led you so that you will follow them. And this comes from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Remember your godly parents. Remember your Sabbath school teachers. Remember your elders and others, so that you will imitate them to the extent that they follow Christ. And with this, remember that people will remember you, for better or for worse, and give them memories that are worth remembering and that will remind them to believe God's promises and keep His commandments. And lastly, but certainly not least, remember Christ's promise to come in judgment so that you will be prepared. Remember that Christ is coming. Remember that Christ will punish every unrepentant sin. Remember that Christ will bless every obedience done for His sake, so that you will repent of sin and so that you will walk in His ways. Remember 9/11/01 so that you will support justice against the wicked, protection of the innocent, and relief of the afflicted. Therefore, even more, remember the Lord's works and words as climaxed in Christ, so that you will love Him by believing His promises and keeping His commandments. Remember the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this reminder to remember, because in our flesh we are forgetful. Our flesh would have us forget your words because we would rather go our own way. Our flesh would have us forget your commandments because we would rather do our own thing. And so, Lord, we pray that you would quicken us by your Spirit and word and sacraments so that we will remember what you have done, that we will remember what you have said, and in remembering, act in faith and obedience on these things and find your blessing. Please, Lord, by your Spirit, remind us day by day. In Jesus' name, amen.